Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, today we have Dr. Elliot Maynard. He's a founder of Arcos Silos, a corporation which was created for the development of new paradigms in science, education, fine arts, global ecology, human potential development, and future science technology. The Arcos Silos Global Ecology Project is a new paradigm for the protection, restoration, and rejuvenation of Earth's ecosystems by applying innovative applications of new technologies and alternative sciences. His message is very positive and rare, one about the future of humanity, and believes that the expansion of consciousness when combined with developing technology will guide us into a new renaissance. Dr. Maynard, welcome to the Happiness Hangout. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Lori, and thank you, and thank all our listeners out there for listening.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. So, you know, you've got your latest book out, I believe your fourth book, called Brave New Mind, Living in a Future Science World. And in looking through it, I found it extremely fascinating. I will tell you that the master keys part of it, step by step, really helped me to get an initial understanding of what would be addressed in your book. Can you describe a little bit about your book, first of all, and what it is, and then perhaps talk to us about who we are evolving into as human beings?
Yes. The book, essentially, Brave New Mind, Living in a Future Science World, I decided that the old cycles of kill or be killed, survival of the fittest, the rise and fall of empires, along with the destruction of the ecology to build ships and religious buildings and all of that was not working. And I fully believe, it's my conviction, that we need to change our whole mindset. So I created what I like to call a new operating system for humans and planet Earth, because you can't separate the two. And how I did that, I created 25 different keys, which are focal points in different areas of interest, such as future science education, future science art, future science music, future science medicine. And all of these bridge ancient technology, traditional medicine, for instance, combined with the latest high-tech medicine. And when we combine the ancient and modern, we get a synergistic kind of push, a kind of a hybrid push, so that we're creating something greater than the sum of the parts. Now, the key, the real key to all of this is learning how to exist in what I like to call the quantum information field. Basketball players call it the zone, for instance. It's that wonderful place where you get when you're very happy and focused. And at that point, we have access to this quantum information field. And this field, in this field, there's no present. It is in the present, future, and past all at once. So the more we can learn to exist in this field, whether it be an auto mechanic, a housewife, or a teacher, for instance, the happier we will be and the more information will come to us. It just, when you go to that point and learn to stay in it, you can get incredible inspiration for creativity and how to handle your problems.
Well, I'll tell you, and I find the quantum very fascinating. When I started to study the law of attraction many years ago, and it talked about quantum physics, you know, I probably read over that kind of material about seven times before I even got a grasp of it. But it's very fascinating, and it's proven by science, you know, to exist. And I wonder. I wonder if that is kind of the starting point where human beings can begin to to grasp it, because to grasp quantum, it's kind of a leap, but yet it has been scientifically proven, of course, that it exists. So what would you recommend in terms of how could people take living in the way that we do now, sort of, you know, linear in one realm? How would we begin to try to shift that? Say we're not even near thinking about quantum. Like, what are some steps we can take to just begin to take that leap?
Well, there are many ways to get away from the problem is that since the invention of the Gutenberg press and mass media, essentially, humans began to use their left brain to the point where all of the wonderful intuitive, the basic intuitive senses that had been a high survival mechanism for humans for millions of years were pushed aside. So this new paradigm combines the best of traditional medicine, shamanistic medicine, for instance, and the best of medical technology. I'll give an interesting example of how the two create some very interesting bedfellows. In the new technology, medical technology, has brought people back from a state where they had flatlined and were clinically dead. And this has happened so many times now that more and more credible people have returned from the other side. And I understand there was never meant to be a separation between the physical life and the higher one. And so what happened was that you have an example of medical technology, as we know it, providing validation for the fact that we can see beyond the veil. It should be considered a graduation process rather than something gloom and doomy when somebody passes on.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I love, you know, reading that type of information. Dr. Eben Alexander, you know, I read his book, and it's all just so fascinating. But you have so many naysayers who can't get past, you know, right here what we can use with our five senses in the physical. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Now that our technology is so strong, it's starting to open up other avenues for us to see that there are other ways to look at things, more than just your five senses and more than just what you see in front of you. So that's a great example of taking a leap and saying, you know, people will say, oh, those people are lying. But when you read the studies, almost everybody comes back with some kind of similar experiences I have found. I mean, do you find that to be true as well?
Absolutely. And it's amazing. I've met Dr. Eben Alexander, and he's a brilliant neurosurgeon who just came, you know, he essentially was flatlined.
Right.
And his brain showed degradation. He described it as tapioca pudding, I believe, or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he came back and he tried to tell his colleagues about this, and they just couldn't deal with it.
Right.
So to go back to your statement about some of the new technology, one of the new things that we have to jump into this new paradigm, a great tool, is radio talk shows like this, because here we're interfacing with electronic entities and creating a universal kind of field between humans and, of course, through the technology. And every time we do this, there are people that will listen and realize they are not alone. It's natural for people to deny the minute there's a new idea. It's bred into us to start being a naysayer. We're judgmental by nature. And these are tough things to overcome, but the first step in doing that is the awareness of it and an attempt to open yourself. I tell people a simple way to access this incredible information field, which I call the quantum field, is very simple. You imagine a switch in your mind, and instead of, as we are taught, never believing anything we cannot prove to be true, we switch it to not disbelieving anything that we cannot prove to be untrue. And this opens up all kinds of doors, and I can virtually guarantee folks that if they fix this in their mind a little bit like a mental sticky note, that their life will change in ways they can't even imagine. I've experienced this, and I know many, many others, probably yourself, has too.
Well, you know, I find, you know, I come from a very conservative, Midwestern, work ethic, what you see is what you get background. Yet I have found that as I've aged, I have gotten very open to all kinds of things. And my easiest leap was intuition for me, because nobody, you know, people can't really explain intuition. It's different for everybody. I think everybody has it to a certain degree. And when people are afraid of someone like a psychic, I say that's elevated intuition. And there's research on how the brain, you know, different parts of the brain might be a little different for people who are more highly intuitive and etc. But I have started to use that because I know I have it. And I'll tell you, as I've allowed myself to be open to it, I cannot tell you the number of times where I have kind of noticed things happen before they do. I have the gut feelings that you get. All of that is things that people, I think, really can acknowledge, no matter how conservative you are, that they're there. So if you can just really enhance that and maybe start take little steps, might that be a way to think of it?
Absolutely.
To start out.
Moving ahead, as I say, very often what seems to be a major shift in consciousness is a summation of hundreds and hundreds of tiny steps. And it's not easy. We're in this physical realm of duality, supposedly to train the soul. And so this is never easy. It's a constant battle. The good thing is the rewards are they're really addictive. This kind of feeling and focusing and being in this zone, this quantum state of consciousness, the more and more time that we can spend in it, the better we'll be able to deal with our own problems, with the problems of the world. And when we work together in a program like this and form a basic consensus, which may be only tuning in, and then listening to others, this is where the power comes to make major shifts in the world, and it's happening all around us if you look at the news.
Can you give us like some examples of that?
Yes. When I worked with the World Future Society and some of the aerospace people, we used to talk about wild card scenarios, and all that is something that comes up on our timeline and our history that no one would have anticipated. A good example is Elon Musk's electric cars and how they have transformed the auto industry, and not only that, but the public consciousness in a very, very relatively short time. And I had the opportunity to drive back and forth across the country this summer, and I was astonished at parts of the trip in Texas, especially where as far as the eye could see were wind turbines. And this is just one example of how fast things can change. And this proliferation of solar and wind energy is happening so fast. It's happening at what we call a quantum or fractal rate. It's not just a linear line going up the way it would have been predicted. It's catching on fast. And this is because of the new technology of the Internet and the fact that we can have access to the news we want to hear.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, science is studying consciousness and what effect it might have on our lives. How is science getting involved with non-consciousness efforts?
Well, that's very interesting, but in my experience, I've worked with some world-class surgeons and aerospace people, and I think without any exception, each one that I got to know well told me that essentially they relied on their intuition. Doctors couldn't talk about this, say, two decades ago. A famous child surgeon in one of the big cities of the U.S. I was very close to, and he told me that he would know when to go into the hospital to look at a patient before the phone rang to tell him there were some complications. And he just told me that.
Wow. Well, and you know, I think a lot of people might call that gifts, that's a gift that someone has. It's a fluke that someone has. And we all know that, you know, we have much more power to our brain that, you know, obviously we don't use. We don't use all that's there to use. And, you know, you hear it's a gift, but then you think, well, if one person can have that, how many people have experiences around this but never talk about it, or it's sort of dismissed as a fluke or a gift and that's it? It's never heard about.
Exactly. And in my world, in the education system, one of the 25 keys is a futuristic education system, which celebrates the intuition of a child. And if they want to talk to their imaginary friends, that's fine, because research has shown that small children especially retain some impressions and knowledge from their former incarnations. So this is, you know, would be celebrated. And as the father of exopolitics, which is ET politics, he once said that all of this so-called occult information, which just means hidden, it's not evil, should be taken out of the that drawer and put into the education system. Imagine what a different world it would be if we could do that.
Right. And you know, you were talking about educational systems, like institutions like education, and so many educational systems are having so many problems. Your book is very optimistic. I mean, can you tell us why?
Yeah, that's kind of a hard question. I have my moments, but you know, this feeling of rightness, of correctness, and of being on the right path is, I feel it. Humans are naturally prone to addiction. And so I say, well, okay, if you're going to get addicted to something, why not get addicted to something positive? And this feeling and the happiness of gaining new knowledge and gaining, and also recognizing kindred souls out there who have these same situations, and the more we talk about them, the more comfortable they will feel about their doubts.
You know, that's another thing when you meet somebody. I've had this experience, and I think many people have. When you meet somebody and you have a feeling, like I've met people who I have a feeling I've known before. I've met people that I connect with on a level that I can't explain, you know, where I meet lots of people and have lots of great relationships and connections, but there's just something there that's unexplainable. And that's another good example of, you know, where is that coming from? Why is this connection so strong? There's no explaining it. And I think especially in the U.S., when we can't explain things, we really struggle with that.
Yes, and you know, one of the basic problems, I call it a shattering glimpse of the obvious, is that things of a spiritual or let's say non-linear brain nature are very hard to describe in the left brain language that humans created, if you think about it. Now,
right.
The language of the higher realms is usually transmitted in through just you just this stuff just trickles down into your mind. That's one way. You might see some kind of image or have a dream, however you want to put it, when you're in a fairly happy state, maybe during a yoga class or meditation, that sort of thing. So this is pretty amazing, and we simply need to not be afraid. That's why the brave new mind, you need to be brave to move into this new mindset. And what we're trying to avoid is becoming entangled in all of the old paradigms of the linear brain. That they're like those tires the football players run through. They'll tangle you up and trip you up. So it's not easy to get through those old traditions, which just have a momentum, and they keep screwing us up as far as making really good, intelligent choices. And by intelligent, I mean for the good of ourselves and for everyone.
Well, how do we work our right brain muscle more? Like, what are some things we can do to allow ourselves to let more things trickle down, as you say, or get in, or us be more conscious? How do we work that right side?
Well, I think one of the best ways is through arts and music, and especially the performing arts and performing music, and also the martial arts, yoga, if they're taken in the proper context and with a good instructor. And I always advise people, if they have questions in a certain area of what I call psychic technology, intuitive technology, you could call it, they should go to a licensed practitioner, you know, someone who's expert in this, because there's no shame in going and getting a little help, and very often they will open a lot of doors for you because that's their specialty. You mentioned this earlier. Everyone has certain abilities and talents in the so-called intuitive area.
Right. Right. So the arts, music, dance, anything, it's like being in the zone.
Absolutely. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And I come from that, you know, background. I was able to do that through music, mostly through, you know, playing an instrument and singing and things of that nature. And when you do get in that zone, it is one of those places. I'm just kind of trying to feel it right now and what it was like. It's truly like you're floating along and there's nothing else in your mind. It's just happening. And it is a really, really cool feeling. And I think that's why I listen to music and go to concerts and the orchestra so often. So can you play it? And is it just as good to listen, to be a participant in it than doing it? Is it okay? Is it enough to listen versus having to actually do it?
It's a great music. Can be incredibly healing. It can be incredibly inspirational, and in some cases, with good rock music, it can kind of give you energy. Now, energy in itself is neither good nor bad. It's how you use it.
Right.
And I in the past have toured around the world with famous rock bands and. I know the energy of a good concert. It's incredible, and it isn't necessarily evil. Even though, you know, different rock groups have different personas, because that's what makes them special, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that, because we just went to a concert, and the minute I sat down, I felt so good. And I typically make sure I put myself, my mindset in a good place. So whatever comes along to me in life, if my mindset's in the right place, I can handle it, you know, the good, bad, or the ugly. And I just find that when I went to that concert, I mean, immediately it was so like uplifting and brought back memories. And, you know, we were in a zone too. So I can understand how you can be a participant and make it work. The thing you say about energy interests me too, because that's another thing I say. You know, when I was trying to read a little bit about quantum physics with the law of attraction, when I was reading it and had to read it several times, I thought, this isn't magic. This is just you focusing energy. There's energy here. We know that's a proven fact through science. There is energy here. If you focus it, you can bring more towards you of what you want. So I don't think it's, you know, it's not like woo-woo magic here. And you know, it's science. So when you look at conventional science mixing with alternative science, tell me how that's going to work.
Well, one of the areas I talk about is future science medicine. And I've had some amazing healing experiences personally. I've become very close to some major healers. And also the so-called medical intuitives. Now, what can happen, what I envision, is a surgical theater that has a little amphitheater, as they do sometimes, and with some medical intuitives there. And these medical intuitives, some of them can use something called psi microvision. This is talked about in my book, where they can make themselves small. That's one way, or magnify the patient and parts of the patients to where they can see the individual blood cells going through certain arteries and veins and of the heart, for instance. Now, there is a great deal that can be done in guiding the surgeons and monitoring the surgical team, helping them to stay focused, monitoring the patient, helping them to undergo the surgery and, of course, and the recovery. And actually, statistics have proven that when people are prayed for by all kinds of different religious groups who did this independently, they split a group in half. The prayed for people healed very significantly faster than the ones that were not prayed for. This is just a simple example of how coherent consciousness, the focusing of thought energy, as you spoke of, can do healing and come together with advanced technology.
Oh, that's really cool. And I came across a word I wanted you to explain to me. What is it supersensonics? What is that?
Yes, this is a word that was, I believe, coined by Christopher Hills, who was head of the University of the Trees, the first Consciousness Research Institute. He was also instrumental in working with spirulina and had massive spirulina farms at one time. So supersensonics, in his vision, was thinking about the consciousness as a tree that was coming out from the brain, if you can envision this, and the branches keep growing and growing and growing, and they grow. If you can envision this, you can manipulate energy by mocking up situations like this, creating scenarios. And actually, if you keep doing this, it will help open you to more and more and more information, which changes your mindset, and you keep, the other term he used was ratcheting, like with a wrench. You just keep ratcheting up step after step.
Oh, wow. So you start, and then it just starts to flow.
Yes.
Wow. That seems really interesting. Another component, when you look at science, you talk about the environment too, I believe, in your book, and I find nature also to be very powerful, because it's something that's so big and it's expansive and bigger than us. In terms of nature, how do science and nature fit together? I mean, in terms of our consciousness healing, how can we utilize nature better?
Well, the reason this book was created, I talk about humans and planet Earth, because Earth is our spaceship. Earth is our global environment. And for instance, the atmosphere that surrounds Earth is a global commons. So that when one city in China pollutes the air, it goes out and everyone is affected to some tiny degree, if not a larger degree. And we have the atmospheric commons, we have the oceanic commons, the marine commons, and freshwater in the earth, too. And we cannot separate ourselves from Earth, and this is why it's so important to stay grounded in the environment. Many, many children today have a very strange concept of their environment, and there's something called environmental generational amnesia, which simply means that each person's concept of what the natural environment is based on their first realizations of the world around them. And this is very interesting. If you go back and look at some of the old pictures and stuff, you can see how the lakes were full of salmon and trout, say in New England and Maine, where I grew up. And yet each generation, this shrinks and becomes totally different. And I've got some proof of this in the book, too.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we know that our environment's changing. And I think, I feel that people are becoming more conscious of it. I don't know overall if we're conscious of it, but are we doing enough? I guess I wonder.
Actually, I feel that the whole solar and wind power and alternative energy solutions have suddenly started to skyrocket the curve, instead of being a gradual slope up, as would have been predicted by futurists, who most futurists are simply statisticians that do trends into the future. That's linear. That's the old left brain concept. In my world, we all of a sudden we have these wild cards thrown in, like new wind power. Solar energy is changing so fast, and also wind power, that the technologies are becoming better and better. They're giving more jobs. They're shifting the whole global system away from using hydrocarbons, which is, in the long run, destructive. And we're becoming more and more aware. This Volkswagen thing in the news has opened up a tremendous window for people now understanding how, say, diesel fuel, and if it's not cleaned up in an engine, can create particulate matter. Particulate matter was never even monitored a couple decades ago.
Interesting. So really, this is really trying to. I see your book, and when I look at the master keys, I sort of saw a progression of moving step by step by step, using that right brain, like you said, with the supersensonics. When you begin to let small things in, then you allow bigger and bigger and bigger, and it kind of builds until we can actually believe, that we can do things we never imagined before. Like, for instance, I have to admit, I'm preparing for a presentation I'm doing, and I just skimmed past it, but I understand a few days ago there was water found on Mars, and that is really interested people, and that it's opened up, maybe new thoughts about what could be, going on with that. I mean, a whole new realm of thoughts, really, when you think about it.
Absolutely, and this is another wild card sort of thing. Scientists didn't want to believe there was any water on Mars before, and then they found the polar ice caps, on both Mars and the Moon. And now they're finding, actually, that water on Mars, I believe, is frozen. It's not exactly frozen water, that ice cap. But they're finding things that's... Now, here's a perfect example where one of the... remote technologies, remote viewing, which is an intuitive technology, could be used to explore Mars at a very, very reasonable cost compared to trying to shoot a rocket, and all of the expensive hardware and personnel involved, etc., to the planet to go over. Before they send these things, they should be using remote viewers who can now, see, and they can even go underground. They can go underground, so, or up in the atmosphere to look at things. And this is impossible in the physical realm. And I know it sounds wild, but this is very well established, and there are remote viewers who can do this and have done it. And what they've found is very interesting. You can find it on the internet.
Wow. It's amazing. In your book, you talk about mankind could be a lot older than is currently accepted. Can you tell us more about that? How does science point to this?
Well, this is another kind of weird thing. It's sort of become a wild card thing. If you haven't noticed, if you reviewed Yahoo News or even the newspaper, any news feed, over the past 2 or 3 years, you must have noticed that there have been many, many discoveries of all kinds of ancient fossils, which have pushed the whole kind of the old paradigm of human evolution. And then add to that the evidence of extraterrestrial manipulation of the genes to create the humans that we are today. Now, one example that all of you can find, 2 years ago, I thought the whole business of inner Earth and the giants, these giant skeletons were kind of, out there. I started researching and found out what happened was, shamefully, the Smithsonian Institution, among others, in their arrogance or fear of being politically or religiously incorrect, destroyed many, many giant skeletons. And if you can find on the internet actual newspaper articles in the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s about how people, a farmer would discover a giant skeleton on his property, and the folks there, they didn't have much to do, so they'd get in their wagons and come and have a picnic and view this. And they didn't have this bias because they were simple people just farming and homesteading. And again and again and again, you find these articles. And many of these artifacts have disappeared. This is just one example. And supposedly, about 12,000 years ago, the explosions, the cataclysm that destroyed Atlantis, were the result of a war between the Atlanteans and Lemurians. And at that time, the Lemurians, after that time, went underground, and there are polar openings, and this is all documented, too. I know this may sound crazy, but keep your mind open and get on the Internet and YouTube, and you will be amazed at what you see.
I mean, I think the key to all this, too, is you said the word I was thinking about, being open-minded and just, you know, researching it and taking a look at things and saying, you know, hey, you know, and quite frankly, you know, there are many people in the U.S. when we look at our religions, and we have beliefs about God and how things happen, and what we have to take a leap of faith. We take a leap of faith if we have a religion that it's true. And so why can't we take a leap of faith that, you know, we have power to do things that we never imagined? If we can take a leap of faith with, say, things with religion, or that people really do have gifts, or, you know, things happen we can't explain. I would just say that you know, when it comes to, you know, reading your book, it's just keeping an open mind. And a lot of it, like you said, is documented. It's science that we're already doing. It may not be out to the general public. And quite frankly, it appears to me, through just living my years of life, that perhaps there are things kept from, you know, us within our various countries where we live that are there, but we don't, you know, it's not allowed to get out to us because it's not explainable. And I think because I feel that that's true, why not be open-minded? Why not? Couldn't anything happen?
Well, I feel that true religious leaders should be rejoicing, because everything that we're talking about is proving their doctrine. Now, that said, there is knowledge that was kept hidden, and I've begun to think that there was good reason for some of this, because very often if everyone gets to know about it, it can cause huge problems. But for instance, the Catholic Church is still probably one of the best places to go to have exorcism performed, and they do this, and then when somebody does some miraculous healing, they make them a saint. Now, they don't talk about this much. It just happens. They've got this sort of salted away. But religious leaders of all faiths should realize that this is validating what they have, you know, their basic tenets. And sadly, many of the churches have become kind of a dumping places where you can go and dump your crap, you know, and your mental stuff and all of your drama, and then be pardoned and go on. Now, the whole key to this is that you don't need an intermediary, but the churches can provide a place to go and meditate and pray and find sanctuary, and this is where they shine. They have over time. And so that's my opinion about, and there's a difference between a spiritual person and a religious person, and that was told to me by a Catholic nun that I worked with.
Yes. Yeah, and I do understand that. I mean, you can I don't want to turn this into a religious segment, but you can be spiritual without being religious, of course. And quite frankly, vice versa too. So I mean, when you look at all of this, And I look at people and say, hey, listeners on this show, you know, we deal with well-being and happiness. Listeners on this show can be at every level of accepting what they accept or believing what they believe. But we do have a right brain for a reason. And I know I'm more right brain, but I've been trained to be left brained. So, you know, I love the right brain stuff. I mean, opening up much more to it, because I feel like that left brain has been, that muscle's been worked pretty hard, you know. You know, I think the muscle's pretty strong. And it might take a leap, again, as I said in the beginning, to allow that right brain to really open up. But again, why not? Especially from what you're saying in your book, how science is proving so many of these things. So our left brain people can say, oh, okay, you know, I feel better now.
Absolutely. And you know, we all, most of us have, from the times we were our first memories, we're told certain things, you know, that were old, kind of old paradigms, you know, things like shame on you and whatever possessed you. My mother used to say that, to do this, and all of these things. And they're holdovers.
Yeah.
They're holdovers from Renaissance thinking. And, well, I mean, I needed the discipline, but that's a bit of, if you think about it, we're put in all these little restrictive collars without even knowing it, and our parents want us to, you know, have expectations, et cetera, et cetera. And each of us needs to essentially grow from our own center and then start to find others of like mind and resonate with them, and that's what's happening in this kind of radio show.
Well, right. Well, you know, Dr. Maynard, before we wrap it up, in terms of reading your book, Brave New Mind, which I'm going to talk about at the very end here, where people can get it and just a little bit more about it, what would you like to say about your book? Like, if a person's going to read your book, what kind of mindset should they come to the table with, or doesn't it matter?
It really doesn't matter, but because I tell them, just be open. Open to listen and not be afraid to move ahead in your thinking. And I can virtually guarantee you, if you do this, you will find incredible changes will occur in your own life in ways that you can probably never imagine. And I've experienced this, and many, many people I know and work with have experienced this. Many.
Wonderful. Well, I really recommend picking up the book, and like Dr. Maynard said, keeping a very open mind, because I believe we're here to grow and learn our entire lives, or why else would we be here to experience planet Earth and whatever else is to come, and have great experiences to learn from them. So a brave new mind, living in a future science world. Dr. Elliot Maynard's book, Master Paradigm, Future Science Technology. And as we said in the beginning, it's a quantum field science for the future. It's a new consciousness operating system for humans and the environment, as we were talking about. And I mentioned the 25 keys to personal and planetary evolution form a living tapestry. And this reveals how anyone can access the quantum field to enrich their lives and expand their consciousness. So really open up your mind. Take it step by step by step, and push yourself a little further than you had before. And like you said, Dr. Maynard, you'll be better for it, because you'll allow things to come in that you've never experienced before.
Yes. And it's, I'll not say that it can be a little scary to the to the left brain, but but it's worth the effort. And it's like in a video game, you get a whole new level. You go to the next level up, and you can keep going. And that, to me, is the greatest excitement of extreme sports or anything.
Just taking it one step at a time.
Yes.
So you can pick up this engaging new book at Amazon.com. If you want to support our website, you can go to happinesshangout.net. Go to the shopping link and pick up Brave New Mind, Living in a Future Science World by Dr. Elliot Maynard. Dr. Maynard, thank you so much for being on our show. Very interesting information, very enlightening, and great information to kind of raise our awareness and our consciousness. Thanks again for being here on the Happiness Hangout.
And thank you, Lori, especially for your incredibly wonderful understanding of all of this.
Well, thank you, and look forward to hopefully talking with you again.
Okay.
Great. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net and click on the shopping link or go to my page here at BBS Radio.